Happy Friday, everybody. We are live at State Farm Arena. Chris is filling in for Mike today. Our buddy Jeff Schultz is going to stop by here in about 15 minutes. We'll talk about all things in the world of sports with Jeff.
How are you, Jeff Schultz?
Dogs. We'll ask him about the Hawks, all the stuff, and we'll ask him how retirement's going as well. Jeff, longtime columnist for the AJC and the Athletic, and it's funny because we were talking about this, and he actually said he's enjoying it, and I said, why? And he was like, well, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to write. It's kind of interesting because we live this every day, but I hope he's doing well, and we'll find out here in about 10, 15 minutes. This just in, I got to mention this, and then we're going to get back to talking some Falcons. We got an NFL blitz on the way as well. As we are live down here at State Farm, Hawks in Charlotte tonight. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. And we had the quarterback report for you there. And for those who missed it, you will get a chance to hear what Kirk Cousins had to say coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We like to play that for you because it gives us a sense of what he's thinking about heading into Sunday. But our QB report is brought to you by our friends at Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, a one-hour drive from Atlanta. All right, Chris, this just in. Bronny James is going to split time now between the Lakers and the G League.
Shocking.
He is expected to travel on the team's upcoming road trip from October 28th to November 6th and then begin shuttling between the active roster and the franchise South Bay G League affiliate. So that means there was a chance, all right, that we may get a chance to see Bronny in the G League. He plays, obviously, Skyhawks and all that. We'll see if that, you know, I haven't looked at their schedule. But the point is, they did all of that for this. They did all of that for this. Like, everybody knew this is what should have happened, but they did all of that for him to only, you know, a few days later for them to announce, oh, yeah, he's going to split time between us and the G League.
Not they, Carl.
Who?
LeBron James. Not they. Let me make distinction.
The Lakers did this, didn't they?
No. The Lakers were forced to do this if they wanted LeBron back this year. That was all part.
That's presumptuous.
Carl, let me tell you something. That commercial.
Very presumptuous
that,
of you.
That commercial with the Fruity Pebbles in the car.
Yeah.
They filmed that like 6 months ago.
Oh, stop it. It just happened the other day.
They filmed that in like March.
It just happened.
No.
You're telling me they filmed it and put it in the can?
They filmed it before the draft.
Oh,
baby.
Stop.
Yeah, they knew exactly. Listen, and this was. And that's what's really.
This was a Laker decision, Chris.
Yeah. You know why? Because LeBron is the Lakers. You saw that picture he took with Jeannie Buss last year. She was smitten. She was smitten, Carl.
Yeah.
And here's the reality of what it comes down to. I don't know about you. Curious to get your take on this. The longer this goes in terms of days past the event, the worse I feel about it. Because it really
was
manufactured to the hilt. Like,
yes.
And you're just trying to spoon-feed us this Hollywood garbage about this reclamation project that was Bronny James. Like,
now, as big of a LeBron guy I am, because I am a huge LeBron guy.
So am I.
I said this. The testament, truly, the story is not Bronny. The story is his dad's lasted 22 years at this point to be playing at a level where he can still be on the floor when his son is introduced with him.
But the problem is they're shoehorning the son into the situation when he doesn't belong.
Yeah, well, and that's obvious now. So for everybody's like, he don't belong there. Well, the Lakers realize that, and so he's going to travel on the next road trip, which is cool. And then he'll be back and forth between the G League and the Lakers. So
over under 9.5 points a game for Bronny in the G League.
Oh,
I'm going under. I'm going under.
Listen, people have this whole G League thing, this misunderstanding. Let me tell you guys something. Jalen Johnson, when I saw him in the G League, was dominating the G League. On any given night, he could have gave you 20 and 20. There are guys in the G League that are really good, yet their opportunity hasn't opened up yet to get to the league, which tells you how difficult it is. No, I'm going definitely under.
That's on the Hawk, what's his name? Keaton Wallace. Yeah, he was dominating the G League last
year.
He is going to sit all the way at the end of the bench for the Hawks this year.
Yeah.
But he's on the team, technically.
It's hard, man. It is hard. Hey, man, we are live at State Farm Arena. Jeff Schultz is on the way. Big O, let's get to our NFL blitz. Last night, little bit of a shocker. Glad I was on the Rams, huh? They were a 3-point underdog, by the way, last night. and the Rams cover. They win by 10. And here's what's crazy. The end of this game, there was a controversial call. Did you see this, Chris?
Well, they shouldn't have won by 10.
Well, listen.
That's the problem. That's the whole problem.
This is on, to be quite honest with you, this is on Minnesota. Final score was 30-20, but the controversial call was a safety in the end zone. Sam Darnold is pulled down, and it looked like a face mask.
Not look like.
It looked like a face mask.
Not look like.
It wasn't called.
Carl.
It looked like a face mask.
The defender took, he gripped three fingers into Sam Darnold's face.
Why didn't they call
it? But you know what? The ref came out after the game. You know what he said?
What'd he say?
My vision was disturbed.
Oh, well, hey, he didn't call it. Herb Street and Michaels, Al Michaels on Prime Video, responded to the whole face mask thing.
He got a hold of something there. Let's see. Yeah, he got that face mask. He sure did.
Yep.
And they cannot review that. But he definitely got the face mask. Right there. I mean, anytime you see a guy's head get spun backwards, something happened. And he got away with one right there.
And Viking fans are going, what the hell?
There's a lot of different things you can review.
Yeah.
And you tell them, Al.
Jones saying, hey, man, don't, you got to call that. Missed it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if it's not called, right? Here's Sam Darnold, who it actually happened to, was asked about the face mask game and the safety call.
The face mask, it is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in, you know, the penalty before that. So, you know, we just got to continue to play better and not put ourselves in that situation to begin with.
What a good guy.
What do you mean? He didn't complain.
What a good guy.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't called. That's why he didn't complain.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it wasn't called.
Carl.
I won money last night. Be quiet.
Yeah, I can tell. You're clearly not on the side of justice here. You're on the side of your wallet.
Justice? My wallet is justice.
Poetic justice.
Meanwhile, Sean McVay, what about having Puka Nacua back and his impact on the game?
He had shown that he was ready for that performance, and this guy's mindset, his mentality, he's a war daddy, he's a stud. I love his play energy and what he brings. He was ready to go tonight, and he made a big impact on the game.
He's a war daddy.
War daddy.
Oh, my goodness. Nacua, by the way, 9 targets, 7 balls, 106 yards.
Yeah, he's pretty good, huh?
He's damn good for a guy who literally just came off the shelf. And then Cooper Kupp, 5 balls for 51 yards. He had a touchdown. Huh, isn't it interesting when you have your star wide receivers back, what the team looks like, versus not having your 2 star wide receivers, Tampa Bay? Falcon fans, have some faith. It's our NFL Blitz, again, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Here is McVay talking about having both of those guys back.
It was so great having Puka and Cooper back. You know, there's an energy, there's a spark. Thought the defense fed off of those guys. And then for us to be able to close it out with a safety, awesome job. But we've got to continue to get this going. And today was a real positive, but it's one game.
Let me ask you something, Carl.
Did you hear him complain about a safety?
No, I did not.
Okay.
You have a drink on me this weekend, will you? Here's the thing, Carl.
Brown liquor, please.
Yeah. The Falcons are in the exact same position that the Vikings were in going into that game last night.
What do you mean?
Coming off a bad loss, and the team being one that the national media and the local fan base is not sure if they can go 100% in on yet. Hot start to the season, but are we all in? That's the exact position the Atlanta Falcons are in right now, as I pound the table literally, going into this game against Tampa on Sunday. The exact same position.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Vikings right now?
What do you mean? The Vikings are a good team. I mean, they had a similar game as to what we had last week against Seattle. That's what happened.
But they just had 2 of them in a row.
Well, they were in the game last week and got beat by a better Lions team.
Well, they were in this game until they got a no call on a damn safety.
Nah, this is a team they should not have lost to. The Lions, that is a different story. I feel like after Sunday, you're going to feel a lot better about the Falcons. You should, unless you're just continuing to sip out of that glass over there of Haterade or whatever the hell you're drinking over there. You should feel better about the Falcons come Monday if you still have reservations. Listen, I am not all caught up in this whole thing like, oh, the team sucks because we lost to the Seattle Seahawks. We were flat. It won't happen again.
How do you know? That's my question.
Let me ask you this question. It's our NFL Blitz. Are the Browns going to draft a quarterback? Are they going to draft a quarterback in 2025?
Yep, because they're going to finish in the bottom 5.
You believe that?
Yep.
With Jameis Winston starting.
Come on, Carl.
Well, you know how I feel about
it. He'll win a game. He'll do what Jameis does. He'll win a couple.
He's going to win a couple.
They'll win a couple.
Is he going to win against the Ravens this weekend? No? No? All right. I don't think so either. I think the Browns are back in the quarterback business. I'm with you on
this. What's the line on this game? I didn't touch it, but, God, Ravens got to be favored by what, 11, 12?
9 or something like that, I believe it is.
It is 8.5 on the road. That, I would, if you're interested in that one, hammer the Ravens.
Well, listen, Browns, again, are in a desperate situation. I think they had lost all hope. I actually believe this gives them a little hope. At 1-6, they're trending towards a high draft pick. There's no doubt about
it. Who's he throwing to?
Huh?
Who is he throwing to?
Well, they traded Amari Cooper, right? Amari Cooper. He's still got who? Who's the Njoku?
David Njoku at tight end?
Yep, the big tight end.
I mean,
here's the thing.
Jamari Thrash out of Louisville?
Sometimes now when you realize a guy's not playing well like Deshaun Watson wasn't and something like this happens, maybe they come together and play well this
You know
weekend.
Who their leading receiver is right now?
Who is it?
Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, wow.
With just 21 receptions.
Yeah, that's not a lot. I'll tell you who I think is going to crush it this weekend, and then we will hear from Jeff Schultz, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. Remember the Raiders in the offseason had those puppets of Patrick Mahomes, and they were making fun.
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, and they had the hair and all of that. Well, guess who plays this weekend? Yeah, the Chiefs and the Raiders. And Jack Jones, the Raiders cornerback, was asked about this, and he had the stones to basically say, I'm not afraid of this situation.
Nah, I ain't intimidated by him. I don't think nobody in this locker room intimidated by him. I mean, it's good players all across the league. He a good player. So, you know, we see guys every week, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we focus on us more than we are about him, you know what I'm saying?
Check yourself, son. He's not just a good player. He's the best quarterback in the league and a three-time Super Bowl champion.
D-Hop's going for 150 and three tutties this weekend.
They're going to go at this guy so hard. I can't believe he just casually was like, yeah, he's just like any other player. No, he's not like any other player. There's a difference. There's Mahomes and everybody else right now. That is a complete insult. And trust me on this. Jack Jones, corner for the Raiders.
Who?
Jack Jones will get thrown at multiple times on Sunday.
Travis Kelce's going to have his first 12-catch, 135-yard, two-touchdown game this weekend.
I mean, unbelievable. Oh, you got to keep that soundbite for me. I can't believe it. He ain't nobody. He's just like everybody else in the league. We ain't afraid of him. He should be afraid of
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
We got to take a break. We're coming back. Jeff Schultz, longtime columnist here in the ATL, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about retirement, but also what's he been doing and what's he think about what's going on with our teams, including the Falcons, coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What? Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas in for Mike today. And I want to welcome in a longtime columnist for the AJC and, of course, The Athletic. Jeff Schultz is in this market for a very long time, and now he is retired. I don't even know what that's like, Jeff. I have no idea what it's like to wake up, stretch and yawn, and go, oh, I don't have to cover a damn thing today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, and to be honest with you, Carl, I don't really know what it's like yet either. I mean, it is. It's a very strange thing. I mean, not just, you know, when you're in a career for more than four decades, but when really you've been working since 16 or delivering papers when you're 12 or 13. I mean, all you've really known is you go to school or you work, you have a family and you work. I mean, it just defines you. So I'm keeping busy. I still watch sports. I'm pretty involved with a lot of stuff. My wife jokes I have a dot on my calendar. You know, on your phone when you have your calendar and it has a dot there when you have something planned for that day and you have to click the day and it shows you what you have. I have a dot every day. Something's wrong with that. I should just be like sleeping late, you know, watching movies, going to bed early, eating chips. I think I'm doing this all wrong.
Yeah, hey, it sounds like it. I mean, obviously, you know what? We're so structured. This is part of it. We're so structured in our daily routines, and to your point, you know, to be a columnist and to write as much as you have over the years. Jeff has done books as well, guys, for those who are not familiar with Jeff's work. And, you know, people would be upset with him as he'd write stuff, whether it be about these Hawks we're down here at State Farm or the Falcons or whatever it's been. And he's had a lot of great inside stories over the years as well. But we're so structured, it's hard to get out of that. I think that mindset. So that's kind of, I feel like, what you're talking about. I do want to ask you, because I know that you've been following everything about the Falcons. They got a big game against Tampa. We've been arguing back and forth about, you know, what Tampa is, what they're not, what they're going to be without their two star wide receivers. But I'm really curious to know what you think about Raheem Morris and the Falcons and what you've seen thus far. Jeff, we've gone through a lot of regimes. You know, we've had these discussions. How do you feel about where this thing is right now?
Well, let me back up for a second first. I'm pretty on record, for as much as on record as a retired guy in Medicare can be. You know, that I would I'll say anything now. The hell with it. Get off my lawn. You know, I liked Arthur Smith. I thought he should be given another year, and I thought the problems that occurred, you know, the last couple of years were largely rooted in obviously the quarterback play. And yeah, he played a role in that because he picked the quarterback. I would have liked to have seen Arthur Smith with his team to see what would happen. On Raheem Morris, you know, like the team is better this year because they're getting better quarterback play. Kirk Cousins has shown flashes. I think he's shown he can still play. He's a few too many turnovers, but he can still play. I think there's still a getting to know everybody period, right? Not just with Cousins and the receivers that are there, but with the offense. You have a new play caller and Zach, who's never done this before. Raheem Morris, I think, you know, he'll be judged on keeping guys engaged and making those big, tough, hard decisions when things go sideways, and also to win and lose games. I don't know that we can judge him yet, I guess, is the way I'm cleverly trying to avoid the question. I think it's too early. Yeah, this is a very winnable division. They're going to play a lot. They played close games. They're going to play a lot more close games. They have the talent to win this division. I realize that's not saying a lot, but they can and I think should win this division. But we'll see how they get through October, November, and December when, as they say, you know, the leaves fall off the trees, and that's when teams either fall or rise. And so we'll see. I have a hard time judging them right now. I don't like the fact that they're last in the league in defense again, or last in sacks, rather. They're probably middle of the road, or maybe bottom two-thirds in defense. And defense is Raheem Morris's, that's in his wheelhouse, right? So we'll see how this plays out.
Jeff, you just mentioned it, last in sacks again, something you've covered pillar to post throughout your long tenured career here in Atlanta when it comes to the Falcons. Do they make a move, in your opinion? Should they make a move, or do you think some of the younger guys that they drafted will eventually spring into real NFL players?
I think everybody looks to make a move. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's really and you do see more moves now than you used to see. I think in particular positions like a wide receiver or running back, where it's easy to sort of plug and play that to some degree. It's a little harder with some linemen. A pass rusher, you can do it, I guess, if you just go out there and rush the quarterback and you put him out there on third and long or other passing situations. I just think everybody wants a pass rusher, right? But with the salary cap and trades, it's just really hard to make significant trades during the season. And so I think they'll look around. I just think pretty much so this is what you have, and you're going to have to try to develop what you have. They already made, what, one or two moves right before the season, right? And yes. And so those were late moves by NFL standards and seemingly high-profile moves that haven't really completely panned out yet. And so are you going to get a guy better than what you got already? I'm inclined to think they may or may not make a move, but in the end, you're pretty much going to have to rely on the roster you have. You're going to have to figure out some way to pressure the quarterback because, you know, even in games, you're not going to go out and win games in December or certainly into the postseason 35-30. It's just you can't count on that for sustained success. You have to have a I hate to sound like an old coach. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to stop the other team. And they haven't really run the ball with consistency either, which is another issue. I'd like to see a little more balance with their offense. But, again, they're there, you know, and I think they're blessed to be in the NFC South, basically, where I think they're going to be there all season.
Jeff Schultz joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, longtime columnist here for the AJC and, again, for The Athletic. Jeff, I want to ask you also about the Hawks. Listen, DeJounte Murray, right, gets traded. We all knew that at some point this was probably going to happen and they were going to hold on to Trey, and that's exactly what happened. But right. How much better, in your opinion, does this team look? Now, we've got one game sample size. Tonight we're here. They take on Charlotte. But I'm like, okay, it's Trey with Jalen Johnson, right? Bogey's still here. You've got Clint still here. Is this team going to be better, though, than a play-in team?
I really like – so I hate to say – I mean, the simple answer for me –
You're retired,
would be,
Jeff. Say it. Say it.
No. no, they are not going to be better. I happened to look the other day before the season opened just to see what Vegas was putting their over-under at, and I think it was like 36 or 36.5 wins. That sounds about right to me. So maybe that gets them to play-in status. Maybe it doesn't. I really like Quinn Snyder. I just don't really like this roster, to be honest with you. I'm not an expert enough to judge some of these really young players to see what the ceiling is. I like Jalen Johnson a lot. Don't get me wrong. But you know, Clint Capella, is that still somebody you want to count on? You know, the entire season. DeAndre Hunter, we've been down that road before. Bogey with his knees. You know, Trey is Trey. I don't know that he's a different player now. I don't know that he's. I think he still has to prove something in the leadership area. He has to get better, and you know, I really like DeJounte Murray, and I don't know if we're ever going to really know to what extent they tried to make it work here with one. Did they ever have conversations about trading Trey seriously? I think they had conversations about it. Now, how serious it ever got, I don't know. You know, there's one thing I learned in my career. Sometimes decisions aren't just made about who's going to make us better, but who's going to bring in money. Trey's a revenue. And so you'd be naive to think that didn't factor in somewhere along the line. But I don't want to doubt Quinn Snyder, because again, I think he's a really good coach. I just don't know if they really have the pieces there to really put this thing together and make a decent run. So can they make the playoffs? Yeah, they can make the playoffs, but I just don't see right now unless they do something else during the season. Did I Jeff answer well enough?
Yeah, no. You did a good job.
Good job. Jeff, before we let you go, has Max Fried pitched his last game for the Braves?
Yeah. I was like, you know, if we go back to the last two unrestricted free agents, high-profile guys, I was 50-50 on whether Freeman would be back. Everybody else thought it was 90-10 he'd be back. I always thought it was 50-50. You never let it go that long. Dansby, I always thought would be gone. Not because they didn't want him back and they didn't like him. They did. But I just thought he was going to get offered way more than certainly what the Braves considered his market value. And that's exactly what happened. In fact, Dansby, as you know, he even was willing to take less from the Braves and the Cubs. And it was still but the less was going to be too much less. So he stayed. Max, you know, he's an unusual situation because he was coming off major surgery. When he finally got into the majors, this is his first real shot at free agency later in his career than it theoretically should be. He's going to get offered more years and more money than I think Alex Anthopoulos is going to be willing to give him. I understand that at this point. It's unfortunate, but I think it's just the reality. And I think they've got an issue because they're probably going to have to start next year without both Spencer Strider and Acuna, I would think, with their rehabs. You know, and I think this is – I mean, I was on record when I actually had a place to write last year that I thought they needed to make a move after the previous season. I don't want to say that the team was bad 2 years ago that got bounced by Philly. I just thought, you know, they had showed that something was wrong or missing. And I think you have to mix things up once in a while. I think when you just come back with largely the same roster – the same core pieces, you're counting on a lot. And notwithstanding all the injuries they had this year, because they had an enormous number of injuries. So did the Dodgers, by the way. But I never really sensed, even before the injuries really took hold, that this was a team that looked like it was putting it together. At least not early. Early in the season, before the injuries really flattened them, I thought something was off a little bit. Maybe they would have turned it around. They would have taken off. I don't know. We'll never know. But now they're in a situation where they're going to have to try to figure out, if they do change some pieces, trading some guys with less market value than they might have had a year ago, because they're coming off lesser years or injuries, right? So it'll be interesting to see what Alex does. That's a long answer to your Max Fried question. No, I don't see him coming back.
One real quick follow-up, Jeff. I thought it was interesting that you said Alex Anthopoulos making the decision. From your understanding, does he have full autonomy in terms of what he's allowed to spend?
Well, I think every year there's a budget. Look, I don't want to relitigate the whole Freddie Freeman thing, but in very, very short notes, I mean, Freddie had the great year in 2020. He won MVP. The Braves were thinking of re-signing him to an extension because he was going to be going on to the last year of his contract. And Liberty Media tapped the brakes and said, we're not doing any contracts now because we want to wait to see how many fans come back after COVID. That's out there. Nobody should doubt that. Nobody should blame Freeman or his ex-agent or anybody for that. That was totally on Liberty Media for how to handle that. They went through the 21 season. They won the World Series. Now the equation has changed a little bit. And obviously getting Freddie Freeman to sign now is going to be a little more difficult. Obviously he's going to test the market. And again, I don't want to relitigate what happened, what didn't happen. But that was an instance where Liberty Media said, we're not spending money right now because we want to see how many fans come back after COVID. We could certainly debate why a multi-billion-dollar corporation would make that decision, but they made that decision. I don't think money is going to preclude Alex from doing something. I mean, their payroll, I'm sure they're top 10, are they not now?
I believe they're top five. Yeah, top five.
Top five. With the escalating contracts. Yeah.
Right. I think it's going to be an issue of, though, you're going to have to trade. I don't know how much you'd be able to take on. So, but you're going to have to – he assigned so many guys to long-term contracts. There's an upside and a downside to that. The downside is now you're going to have to find someone to take that contract. And maybe somebody would. I don't know. But that's the downside to signing some guys long-term if you don't keep them long-term. And I think that's the one thing he's going to have to navigate this offseason. You know, he's a really good GM. I don't want to cast any aspersions on him. I mean, he's one of the best GMs in the league. But that's an issue he's going to have now as he looks to, I don't want to use rebuild, but, you know, change the look of this team a little bit.
I totally agree. Jeff, we got to run. We will talk dogs with you next time we grab you on. So glad you're doing well and enjoying the time, man. And it's good to hear your voice on the radio. Appreciate you.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
That's Jeff Schultz, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at State Farm Arena. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We'll come back. We have Yeah Man, No Man with Orn coming up next. They're going to win. I'll tell you why coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, we will get to our picks in the 4 o'clock hour. And who's atop the leaderboard? Oh, it's Chris at 12-9. There I am at 12-9. Mike is 10-11, and Orin is 10-11. This thing is close, man. It's too close to call. And I'll tell you, last week was a good week. We both went 3-0. Chris is filling in for Mike, so that is on the way as well. We'll talk to Steve Coonan live here at State Farm Arena at around 6:20, so stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle is here with me, which means Big O is back at the studio, and he brings us his edition of Yeah Man, No Man. Happy Friday, Big O. What's going on, man?
Happy Friday to you both, guys, down there at State Farm Arena. What's the vibe down there so far?
Lots of rehearsals on inside the bowl.
You might hear the whistles music and things back in the background right now.
Yes. You can hear the music in the background. Quiet right now. Obviously, it'll pick up as they open up the doors a little bit later on. But, yeah, man, listen, I expect them to have a good crowd down here tonight after the opening, you know, night win. But kind of quiet right now outside of the dance rehearsals that are going on.
Right. Just give it till about 5:30.
That's in the pickup.
Exactly.
Now, you guys are talking just with Jeff Schultz, former athletic writer, former AJC writer, and Chris asked him a question about whether or not he thinks Max Fried is going to be back with the Braves next year. Spot rack, or spot, that we say it's spot rack?
Yes, spot it rack. Is not Spo Track, which many people think it is. It is Spot Rack.
Spot Rack.
Spot Rack released free agent starting pitcher market values for the upcoming set of free agent pitchers. And one of those guys is one Max Fried. So I'm going to give you the years and the number. And you tell me if you think the Braves would be in the neighborhood or in the ballpark of offering Max Fried this contract. So what if I said that Max Fried could be had for 6 years, $136 million?
Wow.
Would that interest either one of you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because the 6 years, first of all, again, guaranteed deal, so he'd get it win, lose, or draw. But
that's $23 a year.
It's a steal. It's a steal compared to what we're seeing the top-tier pitchers get in today's MLB, and you're talking about locking him up basically for the rest of his career, right?
DeGrom got double that.
Right. He would retire as a Brave. I think he still has a lot to offer. The injury concerns, I get it. The team is concerned with that. I think they are, and, you know, nobody's saying that, but I feel like that may be something. But what's the market value? And something Mike's been arguing this whole time is whatever – it's like the Dansby thing. Whatever you think we would be able to offer him, and I think we could offer him that, oh, but the outside marketplace, meaning other teams being interested in him, maybe offer him 150, 160, 170. And if that's the case, then we're going to be out. But I would take that in a heartbeat and have Max Fried back on this staff.
Yeah, this to me is an absolutely perfect contract for what I think the worth of Max Fried is at this point in his career. We were looking at the numbers yesterday in the control room, and he has not had a lot of seasons, Carl, where he's made upwards of 30 starts. That's just what it is. It doesn't mean we don't love him. Doesn't mean he wasn't clutch in the World Series year. You're just looking at hard facts at what he's at in his career right now, his age, where his velocity is, and you look at him as a very, very good pitcher. Is he Ohtani? Is he
no.
Scherzer?
No.
Is he, you
no.
know, is he one? Is he Garrett Cole?
No.
No. So I think he's going to earn a little bit below that. If you said, Oren, to me, you know, 5-175, I'd be like, no, what? You can't do it. The Braves just aren't going to do that. But 6-136, that's chef's kiss for me all day.
Yeah, it's kind of in that neighborhood of just right. I mean, you could argue that the Braves paid Charlie Morton basically, what, $60 million to pitch here for the last 3 years, give him almost
right.
$20 million a year. So, hey, Max is younger, arm's a little bit better than Charlie Morton, so... for what it's worth, the other contract values they've had, they think that Corbin Burnes is going to be the high free agent guy this offseason. They're saying 6 years, $180 million for him. Blake Snell, 5 years, $131. And then Max comes in after that at 6 years, $136. So if you look at the market, too, it's not going to be like Yamamoto and those guys like last year. There's not going to be any of those crazy bank breakers, if you will, but – kind of 6-136. I don't have a problem with that either. It'd be nice if they can make that work some sort of way. Hell,
for reference, Corbin Burnes, 32 games started, 15-9 with a 2.92 ERA. That's just better than what Max was.
But here's the question, though. For $40 million more, is that a significant upgrade? See, I have to look at this from, and I think the Braves do too, guys, it's not the ERA or the everyday, you know, every outing. Is he going to start 32 out? How many outings are we getting out of him, right? And more importantly, well, how many quality starts are we getting from him? So, I mean, these are the things. We want to get into the numbers of it. I agree, like, but for $40 million more, I don't think that's a significant upgrade.
These are his starts over the last, call it 6-7 years. 29, 14, 30, 28, 11, 33, 14. So, it's a mostly positive mixed bag.
It is.
I think is how you can describe it.
It is. Yeah.
All right. On that note, guys, we're going to go ahead and get up on out of here.
All right. Good stuff, O. Great job. That is a question, guys, we're going to be pondering after the World Series, right? Hot stove and all the conversation about what our team's going to do. I think AA has to do some things, but I also think we got to get healthy. I said this. We don't have to make wholesale changes with the lineup, but there are some areas where you go, okay, can we upgrade?
Shortstop.
If they can, they will. And
left field.
That's going to be the question for AA.
And this too, Carl.
What's that?
How's Strider look when he gets back?
Well, I don't know when he gets back. That's my issue. I'm not sure when he gets back. Everybody thinks he's going to be ready for spring training, and he might. But what if he's not? Hey, the Dog Report's coming. Dogs on a bye this week, which means we have other big games to look forward to. We'll tell you all about that. We'll get to Dukes and Bell's picks of the week as we'll go around the room, and also why the Falcons are going to win on Sunday. We'll tell you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.